Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman, and I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. Today we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 7. And today's lesson is entitled, The Mystery of the 144,000. The Mystery of the 144,000. That would, of course, make this the class that studies the book of Revelation. Today's lesson will be found in chapter 7 of Revelation, so if you'll be so kind as to turn there. And while you are, let me just go over the Bible memory verse found in the very last of the chapter, verse 17. Which says, For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throng shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. It's a great verse. Hopefully everybody's found their way to Revelation chapter 7. The mystery of the 144,000. There seems to be some confusion these days on who the 144,000 really are, and hopefully we'll be able to clarify that today. Now, in order to properly understand the passage concerning the 144,000, which is the main topic of this lesson, we will cover the preceding verses in order to not take this out of context, as well as compare what is said with other passages elsewhere. Let's look at the first three verses of our chapter, chapter 7 of Revelation. Hopefully everybody's there by now. Alright, 7, verses 1 through 3, quote, And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor one on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. End quote. We now see the next revelation given to John that concerns the earth and all that live therein. Four angels stand in the four directions of the compass, that is, in the north, south, east, and west, for the purpose of holding back the winds of judgment. These strong winds are the ones that are to carry destruction over the earth. It is the angel's job to hold these winds until the approved time to release them. It appears that these winds seen in this vision date back to the very beginning of the unsealing of the scroll, so that none of the destruction has begun yet. Therefore, what we have here is a view into eternity, which is not necessarily the same thing as following things in chronological order. These angels that we have just mentioned are unnamed. And it should be understood that this isn't the only thing that these angels do. That is, this is not their permanently assigned task but one assigned by our Lord for a certain purpose. These four winds illustrate that troubles will come in all the same time and in all directions. Again, this is illustrative of the fall of the Roman Empire, in which it was the empire it was invaded from all directions during a period of time. Now, a nation that can't or doesn't defend its borders, as seen with the Roman Empire, doesn't remain a nation for very long. Uncontrolled numbers of foreigners flooding into the country from all directions lead to lawless destruction. And this destruction finally took down the most powerful empire on the face of the earth. Famine followed disease and monetary collapse. Not necessarily in that order, but nevertheless, a set of events often repeated in world history. The idea of the four winds of destruction is also found in the Old Testament. In Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 22, the judgment of God is represented under the image of the wind. There are several passages in particular in the Old Testament which serve as a foundation for the one before us. For instance, in Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 36, the divine judgments rushing in upon all sides appear as the four winds. Quote, "And I bring against Elam the four winds from the four ends of the heaven, and I scatter them toward all the four winds." End quote. The winds are introduced here not for the purpose of scattering, but for that of destroying. The scattering to the four winds is only the consequence of the powerful activity of the winds, as appears plainly from Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 32, where the, quote, "I bring their calamity from all sides," end quote, corresponds as to the matter, and also because it is not said, quote, "And the four winds scatter them," but, end quote, "But I scatter them to all the four winds," end quote. The ascending angel from the east, bearing the seal of the living God, is, by the description, none other than Jesus Christ himself. We know this by his position of authority over the other beings described as angels. He does the commands, they follow. He ascends from the east, symbolic of the sun. That would be S-U-N, and it represents, the sun is symbolic of the S-O-N. Now the question then arises as to why he, if divine, is he called a mere angel? The simple answer to that is that he is here acting as a messenger from God the Father. The word angel, if you will remember, simply means messenger. We're not to grant the Jehovah's Witness a verse of victory here, with their madness of assuming that Jesus Christ is a mere created being or an exalted angel. There are way too many verses that ascribe to Christ deity. There are way too many of these verses to deny his position in the sacred Trinity, just because of this verse. Now he, cries out with a loud commanding voice. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. End quote. We need to know exactly what is being referred to here. What is he talking about? Now, the sea, according to Daniel chapter 7, verse 2, can only be the sea of the nations. Daniel 7, 2. According to Isaiah chapter 10, verses 18 and 19, the trees are symbolic of the people of greatness. That is to say, the people that are rich and powerful. As in Daniel chapter 4, which is said of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he appears under the image of a lofty tree in Daniel 4. Quote, thou, O king, art that tree, end quote, Daniel 4:19. Now, that's a good example. Those under the tree, represented figuratively by the word land, would obviously be injured if the tree fell. Now, the church on earth is to be sealed before the destruction begins. This is the meaning of this passage. So, obviously, the church is here on earth during the tribulation that comes on the earth. Quote, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads, end quote, is an important phrase in regard to those people. Who are these people? Is the next question. Ezekiel chapter 9 is a very similar passage. So it is important that we briefly look at it with the hopes of understanding what these verses in our passage in Revelation chapter 7 mean. So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 9. See if it gives us any clue as to what our passage in Revelation is talking about. Ezekiel 9, quote, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth down, lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Looking at verse 3. And the glory of the Lord of Israel, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the men clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Verse 6. Slay utterly old and young, both maidens and little children and women. But come not near any man. come not near any man to whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass, while they were slaying, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried, and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. Verse 11. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. End quote. So, according to this passage, who are the ones marked out by God to not be slain? Anyone? Well, yes, it is the just ones, not any of the wicked. It is the righteous that are spared. According to this, then, those in Revelation 7 who also receive a similar mark or seal are all those who are just, or in other words, righteous. Now, let's go on and look at verses 4 through 8, since they are all tied together. We are not to take things out of context. Verse 4, quote, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. End quote. Here we run into some problems. First, there appears to be an exact number given. And we run into some other problems. Besides that, secondly, it appears as if all these people were Jews, or are Jews. Let's look at this. Look at the number here. 144,000 is actually 12 times 1,000. 12 tribes of Israel, Old Testament. 12 apostles, New Testament. Magnified 1,000 times. It is the Old Testament and New Testament saints all viewed together. This is clearly described here. And what is intended is obviously not an exact number, but one of symbolic grandeur. This is clearly described in the rest of the chapter, starting with verse 9, which actually describes the whole scene, not individual groups or tribes. Um, surprisingly to John anyway, the whole group was, quote, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, end quote. It is obvious, then, that the 144,000 is not made up of faithful Jews or anyone identifying as such, because John never divides the church up into a Jewish church or a Gentile church. And for that, you can search John's writings, and that will verify it. John never divides the church up into a Jewish church or a Gentile church. As faithfully and clearly stated elsewhere, such as in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Let's just take Galatians 3, 28. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. End quote. Now, this group that is without any real number is made up of the entire faithful church. And these are one in the same as the 144,000. Knowing that a favorite writing technique of John's is to compare two unlike things or concepts verifies the fact that the 144,000 stands for the perfect and complete glorified church. John compares light with darkness, truth versus lies, life versus death, sin versus righteousness, the church versus the kingdom of darkness, and on and on. This is seen throughout the book of Revelation, especially in, most notable in chapters 12 and 13. Later in this book, we will see that the devil will put a mark, that of 666, on all who are his, which mark is the opposite of the seal given in this chapter to God's own. There is no in-between. All in one group have the seal of God, and all in a different group have the mark of the beast. Obviously, then, this seal isn't one that just marks a 144,000 tribulation Jews, owing to the fact that this is a general principle that is universally followed through the ages. Then, these seals and marks don't just occur during a future generation, but rather are true of all that come into this world. We all go through trials and tribulations and are either kept by God or kept deceived by the devil. We either bear the image and seal of God or bear the image of the devil and follow him. Why then, question arises, why then does John even use the terminology of Judaism and the division of tribes? One must understand that many in the church during John's day were Jews, and there was a strong concept of having ties to the family involved in the church. Though there are various divisions in the church, yet it is one family. No matter how bad things get around us as a church, there is still the strong love of the family that comforts us and unites us. John uses this as an underlying theme throughout his writings. The Jehovah's Witnesses have totally misinterpreted this passage, among others, concerning the 144,000. So, we cannot excuse their ignorance and deception, as in so many other cases, but rest assured that Christ Jesus has indeed prepared a place for us to be with Him now and forever, and holds us safely in the palms of His hands. And with that, we're going to close this lesson with a word of prayer, please. Gracious Father, we come to Thee now, thanking Thee for this Thy Word, and we thank Thee for its faithfulness to us. We thank Thee that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and that it is obvious, it is on our foreheads, it is this salvation is obvious to others, and it is known to us and known to others who look at us. We thank Thee so much for this salvation through Jesus Christ by faith in Him alone. We pray now also that Thou will be with us throughout the day, that we'll be good witnesses of Thine. We pray that You'll give us wisdom and understanding as we deal with the world. And we pray for wisdom and understanding concerning this lesson. We ask that Thy Word will go forth throughout the whole earth, and it will be delivered with the power of the Holy Spirit. We also pray now that You'll just protect each one of us as we seek to serve Thee. We ask that You'll be with the peace of Jerusalem, that You'll keep Jerusalem safe. We ask also that You'll help us to be faithful to Thee until the very end. We pray for our nation that it will repent and turn to Thee, and we ask for Your mercy in this regard. We also pray now that Thou be with each member of Thy church. Cause us, Lord, to pray for one another and to care for one another as we should. And we pray now these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And for His sake, we pray these things. Amen.